This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 682 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thank you for tuning in. FanDuel and GMC are bringing you the GMC Sierra Mountain Climber Pick'em, a free-to-play contest series that gives you a chance to win a share of $10,000 in FanDuel site credit every Sunday, courtesy of GMC. Every Sunday during the NFL season, you'll have a chance to answer questions based on the day's 1 p.m. and 4:25 p.m. games. The more questions you answer correctly, the higher up the mountain you'll move. If during any week you answer every question correctly for a perfect score, you'll reach the summit and win your share of $10,000 in site credit. The contest series is now live, so head to FanDuel.com/free/contest/GMC to start climbing the mountain. It's a 10 trend show. Let's do this. So far this season, no quarterback has a higher completion percentage on 15-plus air yard throws than Tua Tagovailoa. After everything people were saying about his deep ball ability, here we are. But here's the thing. I talked about this multiple times over the offseason. Tua's deep ball ability was never in question, at least for me. It was his frequency that I think we needed to question. He hadn't been throwing it deep very often as a starter. And to be honest, that hasn't changed all that much. He's still throwing it 15-plus air yards at a below-average rate. He's just completing a lot of those throws. But it works in an offense like this because he has two wide receivers who are great after the catch. That's why this marriage with Mike McDaniel can work. Amari Cooper might be the best alpha that no one's talking about right now in fantasy football. He had a rough week one, yes. But over the last 2 weeks, Cooper's ranked in the top 10 in weekly wide receiver scoring, and he's seen target shares of 37% and 35.5%. CeeDee Lamb is the only other wide receiver to have hit a 35% target share in both weeks 2 and 3. I think the people with Amari Cooper understand what they have, but I don't think the rest of the fantasy world does. Antonio Gibson's peripherals keep getting worse. He started the season with almost a 20% target share in week 1, then it was 9%, and then 2.4% this past week. Meanwhile, his snap share, thanks to GameScript, has gone from 64% to 54% to 44% each week. It's tough to trust a player like this in fantasy football. Now, running back isn't very deep, but the transaction from last week's 15 transaction show remains for Antonio Gibson. He's still a sell. Jonathan Taylor's having kind of a slow start to the season. But if you want to look at his performance thus far from a half-glass-full perspective, get this. In 2021, Taylor handled 78.2% of Indy's running back rushes per game. This year, that's up by over 6 percentage points. In 2021, he had a 9.4% target share per game. This year, that's up by over a full percentage point. So his usage really isn't any different. He's just not quite as effective, and he's only got one touchdown through 3 games. He's still the player that you want most, maybe aside from Cooper Kupp, in all of fantasy football. Let's talk about the Rams' backfield. In week 1, it was Darrell Henderson. He played 82% of the team's snaps. In week 2, that number fell to 56.5%. This past week, it was 50%. Cam Akers outrushed Henderson 12-4 on Sunday. This is looking like a mess for fantasy purposes. But if you want some optimism around Henderson, the Rams did use him more in the first half this past week. Henderson's also played over 84% of the Rams' snaps on third down over the last 2 weeks, according to 4-for-4 Stat Explorer. So when they get into an actual negative game script, we're going to see more Henderson. That's at least good for fantasy purposes. Breece Hall played more than half of the Jets' snaps for the first time this past week, and his overall usage leapfrogged Michael Carter's for the first time this year, too. In weeks 1 and 2, Hall was averaging a 9.9% target share. Carter was at 13.7%, and Carter had 17 carries, Hall had 13. In week 3, Carter had 11 carries to Hall's 8, but Hall had 11 targets to Carter's 2. According to PFF, Hall ran 8 more routes than Carter this past week. The week prior, Carter ran 17 more routes. Maybe this is just natural variance. Maybe we're going to see this flip-flop all year. But this could be the start of the Jets using Breece Hall a little bit more. Remember, rookies tend to perform better during the second half of the season. If you have Lamar Jackson in fantasy right now, chances are you're looking pretty good. Sometimes single players can really carry you over small stretches, and that's going on with Lamar Jackson. But I'm not sure people realize how good he's been. He's averaging 34.1 standard fantasy points per game. During his MVP season, the one where he broke fantasy football, that average was 27.7. What he's doing right now is absolutely insane. Of course, he's not going to keep up this pace, but it does seem like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson, they're separating themselves from the pack this year. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, over the last 2 weeks, he's targeted Devontae Smith a lot more, thank God. Smith has seen about a 29% target share over the last 2 weeks. He's actually seen more targets than A.J. Brown during this two-week stretch. It's good news for anyone who invested in those middle-round second-year wide receivers this year. Now, if only Elijah Moore could get going. Through three games, the Joe Flacco-led Jets have a pass rate of 73.1%. Meanwhile, the Bears have a pass rate of 30.2%. I can't even explain how insane those two numbers are. Well, I guess I can explain it. I'm going to explain it. Both of those numbers are going to regress. Since 2011, the highest pass rate that we've seen from a team was from the 2013 Atlanta Falcons. They won four games that year, and they threw it on over 67% of their total pass and rush attempts. So the Jets are well above that. Meanwhile, on the other end, the low is from the 2020 Baltimore Ravens. They had a pass rate of just 42%. So that's way higher than where the Bears are at. This is why looking at target share numbers can be so important. The Jets will probably be more pass-heavy than the average team this year because of game script. But they won't be like this. So understanding how that impacts players on the team, that's so important. I like Tyler Conklin, for example. I think he's a decent add at a really bad position this week. But he has a 16% target share. It's not like he's over that 20% mark. If he maintains that target share, but the Jets throw it at a more normal rate, he's going to suffer a little bit in fantasy football. That doesn't mean to avoid Conklin. I had him as an ad on the 15 Transactions show for a reason. It just means that volume like this can really impact fantasy football in small samples. Now, the last trend this week is kind of a wild one. There are two teams so far this year who have averaged one offensive touchdown per game. Every other team has averaged more. The two teams, the Broncos and the Buccaneers. Better days are ahead for both offenses. If you look at their rate of scoring per drive, so both a field goal or a touchdown, the Broncos rank 14th in scoring rate. The Buccaneers aren't that far behind them. Denver's actually 10th in yards per drive. The Buccaneers are 15th. So overall, I would still be very patient with these offenses. That's going to do it for today's show, though. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. Check out LateRound.com for everything I'm offering. Join the Patreon. You get rest of season rankings, weekly rankings, a great Discord community, and much more. Thanks for listening, everyone. Really appreciate it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.